You're an archangel. You don't belong here.
My eyes sought out Amariah. She was making her way back to the table, dragging a sock monkey by the toe, apparently her newest favorite toy. I couldn't be certain, of course. I rarely saw her, except on occasions like this. Are you saying you don't want me around?
No, it's not like that.
Dee's voice was softer than I expected, giving me hope.
I'm making a real effort here, Dee, I said. I want to be a good father to Amariah.
I know, she said, finally looking at me with those soft blue eyes. But coming back changed you.
I'm getting better.
Her mouth opened to say something when Amariah bounced into the seat between us.
Is it time for the four questions? I love that part.
She would. As the youngest, she got to ask all the questions. I wondered whom Rebecca would consider the oldest. Technically, I was. At least, in spirit. In flesh, I was younger than Amariah. Rebecca coughed lightly, signaling that we should begin. Rebecca was an ex-Israeli career soldier and ex-Link terrorist. Her flat top was still as precise as the sharp lines of her broad shoulders and the cuffs of her cotton shirt sleeves. After we recited the traditional questions and answers, the room erupted as everyone had questions of their own.
How could it not be a sign? Rebecca asked, her voice straining to be heard over all the others.
She leaned into the table, her body tight with tension.
The only thing that's been standing in our way was that mosque.
She didn't have to say it for us to hear it. That damn mosque is what she meant. Rebecca wasn't the first person to think that the destruction of the Dome of the Rock would mean progress for the Jewish cause. People tended to forget that Muslims were God's people, too. I pushed my spoon around in the clear liquid of the matzo ball soup.
God wouldn't dance while her people were crying.
The room fell quiet. Even Amariah, who was only a little over 4 years old, stopped playing with her napkin to stare at me with wide eyes. Nobody was happy when I spoke of God. Some probably remembered my days in the wilderness, when I would rant about God on the street corner. Others knew the truth about my origins. Both scenarios, I imagined, inspired extreme discomfort. I cleared my throat and quoted,
"When the Egyptians were drowning in the Red Sea, the angels in heaven wanted to sing praises to God for rescuing the Jewish people. But God silenced them, saying, 'My children are drowning in the sea, and you want to sing before me?'"
Others started nodding, remembering the Midrash.
"Michael's right. There's more war now than there was before," agreed Deidre quietly. Unlike Rebecca, Deidre's blonde curls always seemed to be in desperate need of a haircut. Personally, I found it sexy and inviting.
Kind of like an unmade bed.
"I don't know all this stuff, but isn't the Messianic Age supposed to be one of peace?"
"Good point," said Tom.
Tom was a Wiccan, visiting from Seattle. Black and thin, he wore his hair trimmed close to his scalp. A silver ankh rested against his black shirt, and blue and green Celtic knots encircled his biceps.
"We still need a Messiah. Where's the Lion of Israel in all this?"
"Is Elijah coming tonight?"
Amariah asked. She had been very disappointed when he didn't come last night at First Cedar.
"Will he be here this time?"
"Elijah doesn't really come. That's just part of the ceremony," Deidre said, repeating the mantra from last night.
Amariah looked crestfallen.
"I want Elijah to come. I've never met him."
Some people around the table laughed. I sipped my soup.
"I pray for Elijah to come, but not in my lifetime. Isn't that right?"
Wolf asked. His hair was white, like snow, and silver pupils reflected the overhead fluorescent lights. Wolf was a Gorgon. He'd been born inside the Glass City, and the Medusa had mutated his genetic makeup in utero. He was converting to Judaism. He had perfect pitch and wanted to be a cantor.
"That's right,"
said Rebecca, but there was something of Amariah's disappointment on her face.
"Maybe we should try to get the ceremony right, and if all the Jews in the world do a perfect cedar, maybe the Messiah will come,"
said Jane. Jane was Tom's wife, though they couldn't have been more opposite.